Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
A household name is with me, Patricia Scanlon. She's written 26 number one best-selling books in Ireland and has been an influence and inspiration to a generation of particularly female writers. And her latest book is City Girls Forever. It's released today. Patricia revisits City Girls and the best friends Devlin, Caroline and Maggie. 35 years later, believe it or not, they're dealing with and they're sharing the current issues in their lives, all while looking ahead to a fabulous party, all in this book. And Patricia is here with us now. So nice to see you.
It's great to be here, Claire.
And the two of us are sitting there going 35 years.
I know,
really?
Here we are, modern Irish women we were then. Well, no, you were only a child.
Well, I was still engrossed in City Girls. I remember I felt so grown up reading it at the time.
Can you just believe, like, today's publication day for City Girls Forever, and it was 35 years that we had the publication for City Girl. Mm-hmm. And actually, I love your new studio.
Thank you very much.
I'm just thinking, it's all very surreal, Claire. This day last week, I was having surgery. Today, I'm in a really posh studio with a fabulous Irish woman who is so powerful and well-known and exactly what my City Girls were.
Listen, you should be saying that about yourself now. Why wait? I'm going to come to the surgery, but why wait 35 years, Patricia, to go back to these women?
Well, I had a lot of women to write about, Claire.
I know you
and,
did.
But it was because two great friends of mine, Caroline Grace Cassidy and Ciara Geraghty, two writers that had read City Girl when they were young and had been really felt empowered by it and touched by it, and they wrote themselves and became very successful. And they were doing a podcast. They were starting a podcast called Bookbirds. And they told me they were going to do City Girl as their first one. And I was really honoured. And so when I listened to it, I went, gosh, there was really dark stuff in City Girl. Like, you think, you know, a lot of people remember the gym and the beauty salons and all the glitz and glamour. But, you know, when I listened to what the girls were saying, like, there was domestic violence, grooming, which we didn't know what grooming was, mm-hmm. addictions,
homophobia as well.
Homophobia. Yeah. There was all these issues that weren't being written about in 1990 in our commercial fiction, because Maeve was, our fabulous Maeve, was writing about the 50s and 60s. And so when I wrote City Girl, I was writing about modern Irish women of the 80s. But these are part of our lives. But it was only when I looked back after listening to the podcast, I realised Devlin was groomed. And domestic violence, it was taken for granted. You know, all the changes that we've had since I wrote that book.
It was just groundbreaking at the time.
It was.
But when I was looking at this and reading the book, I thought, gosh, why did Patricia not think back then, when it was such a success, or somebody around you say, now get back down and write the next instalment prior to now? But as you say,
I wrote three. I did. I wrote City Girl, City Woman, and City Lives. Mm-hmm. So I did have a trilogy that led up to the end of the 90s, I think it was, or early 2000. And I'm just so thrilled, Claire.
But then there's a big gap to get
gap,
to get to
this
point. Because
then I had 20 more books to write, you know. But I'm thrilled. The trilogy is back with an Irish publisher, New Ireland, and there's a whole new gorgeous edition of it out. But the thing about City Girls Forever, you don't have to have read the trilogy.
Yes.
But I'm loving, on you know, my Facebook page, all the readers who've gone back to it and are really enjoying it. It's very, for an author, it's very heartening.
But you do a very clever thing where you're weaving in the backstory, so we're taking it in even though we don't really realise it.
Yeah, you'd have to. Well, yeah, I have to be aware that there'd be a lot of new readers who haven't read.
A new generation.
Yeah, but also to see why the women are at the stage they're at. Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me about the surgery. What happened?
Oh, the surgery. I was going, which of them had surgery? just before Christmas then, didn't I get, Friday the 13th, got diagnosed with breast cancer. And I always thought I'd never get it because it's in our family. And you just think in your head, no, I'm not having that nonsense. And I had to have a shoulder replacement in February. So I had to cancel the breast check. And then they got in touch with me in November and I went in and had to have the biopsies and then was told I had to have the surgery. And do you know, Claire, those women, it was all a team of women, all the radiographers, my two nurses, Nicola and Jacinta, and my surgeon, Anna Heaney. They were amazing. They are amazing. I really urge women to go and get the breast checks done. And if they get a diagnosis, don't be afraid, because you're just carried every step of the
way.
They
put their arms around you. You know, when you go into the health service and you're in there, they do. Yeah, they cosset you through it.
They really do. Mm. And I mean, when I had, it ended up I had to have three surgeries. And yesterday, didn't I get the news? I got a call from them to say that they got the last, my surgeon got the last bit in the third surgery. It was third time lucky and my margins are clear.
Great.
So I'm ready to start the radiation. But I just want any woman out there who's undergoing it, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because you'll be supported every bit of the way. Like, it is a moment of terror when you hear.
Well, I was going to say that to you, that, you know, it's great that you come through it. And may I say, you look great given what you've gone through. Well,
thank you. I just feel a bit of a wreck, to be honest.
But it's an awful knock to get. It's a fright.
It was a fright. And after the first surgery, I thought, great, this is it. Now I'm done. I'll be getting the radiation and that's it. Mm-hmm. I've got through that. And then to go back and to say that you have to do another surgery, and it takes 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks for the wound to heal, and you've had three anaesthetics. That's why I was afraid today that I'd have brain fog. I said, oh my God.
You're doing great.
Poor Claire. But yeah, it's nerve wracking. And I mean, you know, I've had cousins that died of breast cancer, you know, so when it's in so close in the family, it's frightening. And but you just have to think, no, I'm getting on with it.
Yeah, but launching a book in the middle of it all.
I know,
is
the timing
another
was
level.
Desperate. It was desperate. But look at everybody, like Helen, who minds me, my publicity manager, all of them, Gil Hess, they're great. They've supported me. Everybody I've been with has supported me. Mm-hmm. So you get that back as a gift.
Yeah.
You know,
listen, you've written a lot about the patriarchy. We've touched on some of the themes from the original book carried through in this one. And I saw that you said that the patriarchy you feel is alive and well today.
Uh-huh. Look at Trump and the carry on in America. Look at the state of the women in America. What's happening to them? Look at those poor women in Afghanistan. They can't even sing now. And it is. There's an element. It's that old mindset of those men of a certain age. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we grew up with the patriarchy. I mean, I remember when, and the church, I remember my mother telling me she had to be churched after having her babies. I didn't know what that meant. I was horrible. That's when I left the Catholic Church in my head.
Yeah. But you're still a very spiritual person. I was reading some of the acknowledgements at the back of the
book. Yeah. Well, an aspect of my life that's always there. I left Catholicism. But the energies of Jesus and, you know, the angelic energies are powerful. St. Michael carries me all over the place, minding me. And that's just part of my daily life. Mm-hmm. But yeah, people say to me, are you religious? And my sister and my sister-in-law burst out laughing because they know me so, not really at all. But everything has an energy, and it's all about the vibration and the vibration of what you put out, and it'll come back to you.
So you don't describe yourself as religious? That's
oh God, no.
Right. But
no.
But spiritualism.
It's metaphysics. It's making it a part of your life, every aspect of your life, the way you treat people, the way you treat your animals, that you're kind to nature and nature will be kind to you. It's kind of trying to look at everything in the most positive and loving way, and not seeing the negative, even though there's so much negativity and you could sink into negativity with what's going on in the world today. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I go out and sit in the back garden for my morning cuppa and I look at the birds at the bird feeder, and that is very balming to the soul. And I think if you can balm your spirit in the kind of world we're living in today, it's really important to do it.
There was one chapter, I was reading the book late last night, and one of the characters said she sat on a bench to have nature soothe her.
Yes.
And the sea, the sound of the sea and the smells and the sound of the birds and so on.
And we forget about that. And it's there as a gift for us to soothe us. Exactly. And I loved when Caroline and Devlin and Maggie, because we do it all the time in the summer, the full moon swims, to go and swim under a full moon, to watch it rise. And it's pink, real pale pink. And then it goes into the glorious gold yellow. And you have the Jacob's Ladder across the sea, and to go swimming in that. Absolutely, you're one with the universe.
Did you have to work at living in such a positive way, you know, finding the positives? Or is it a natural thing?
I think I'm an optimist by nature. And I also think I was given the gift of a great sense of humour. Like my sister said, she's a great sister. And she said after the third surgery, she said, we've had enough of this nonsense. And I was staying the night with her because in my own house, I'll do things, whereas it's like being on holidays.
Oh, yes.
You know, that kind of way. Yeah. And you don't feel guilty. Mm-hmm. And she said, tomorrow I want the floors washed and the dog walked before you get your lunch. And it's that kind of carry on, you know. And
no messing, right?
Yeah. And then she said, well, we can't ask you. You're battling cancer. We just all laugh, you know. So I think a sense of humour is a great gift to have, and try and see the humour in mm-hmm. things as well.
I want to ask you about literacy as well, because yes. I know back, like way back, you started, because of course your career in the library, and yeah. then you started with the adult literacy programmes, and you were writing in that way as well for NALA. Where do you think we are in Ireland now with adult literacy?
Oh, well, I mean, it's so much improved from when
you started.
Poor man asked me in the library once, 30 years ago, he said he was embarrassed reading Mary and Tom Go to School, and was there any books for somebody like him that was coming back to reading?
That's sad.
It was sad. There was nothing then, but there's so much now. I mean, we have all the open doors. The open doors inspired the quick reads in the UK. NALA are really fantastic. We did a presentation of our books to the last at Legends, I think it was, and it was just the vibrancy and the enthusiasm, and that you have people who came, the emergent reader as we call them, who came and did the courses with literacy and are now tutoring other people, and they know exactly what the student is facing because they've been through it all.
Mm-hmm.
And like, reading is power. You know, you have power when you're reading. Do you think somebody can't read the descriptions on a medicine, or, you know, their medicine or the directions? Things that we take for granted. And I think there should be, it's 1 in 4, I think, have problems with literacy.
I just wonder, is it easier now? Not to read, because I just see with my own family.
For
so when
everybody.
We were small, we were brought to the library every
yeah.
Tuesday night, and you got
yeah.
your books, and that was sort of, we enjoyed it, and that was, but it was yeah. a thing that you sort of had
yeah.
to do,
and it was a treat.
Yeah, but now you don't have to do that
no.
because you've got access to a screen, and you've got yeah. all of the information that you need
it
there at your fingertips.
Yeah,
so you kind of have to push the reading a bit more now, maybe.
You really do, because it was funny. It was, and it kind of shocked me. My publicity manager in New Ireland was at the book fair, and he was saying, you know, he was on the plane, he was on the tubes, he was all around the city, he was at the book where he never saw one person reading a book.
Mm.
It's all on the phone. And
of course, they could be reading a book on the phone, but we don't know that,
they
do
could.
We?
Yeah. But it's nothing like holding a book. But I just remember the first time I knew I was reading. I was about 7 and I was reading Enid Blyton's Br'er Rabbit. And I read a whole sentence, and I remember thinking, oh, I'm reading. And I think I was meant to feel that moment and remember it, so mm-hmm. that when it came time to do the literacy books, I want
to feel
our readers,
that.
The emergent readers, to feel, oh my goodness, I'm reading. Because a lot of the times they start off with their fingers under the words,
mm-hmm.
The way we did.
Yes.
And to feel that joy, that joy.
When the connection
Absolutely.
Is made.
Yeah, and I read a whole sentence and I knew what I was reading. Mm-hmm. And that is wonderful. And I love going back to the literacy classes and hearing their triumphs.
Yeah.
I mean, they're brave, strong people and highly intelligent.
Well, listen, your name comes up a lot in my world, because we have a lot of authors in here, a lot of female authors, and they mention you as somebody who champions
nice.
Them. It comes up a lot, you know, the support that you've given
you.
People over the years. Do you think, though, literature is still attracting people in, because it's probably not the lucrative business it once was, but is it still getting the talent?
Yes, it's, oh, look, nesting. You
incredible.
Know,
yeah.
Fiona Scarlett. Oh my goodness, yes. There's a wave of lovely young writers coming up. Mm-hmm. Naoise Dolan, Louise O'Neill, Sarah Maria Griffin. Oh my goodness. It's very exciting. So yeah, I think you see if it's in you. You have to write.
You have to follow it.
It bursts out of you, you see.
Mm-hmm.
You can do your best to ignore it, but if it's there, it'll burst out of you. And I love to help younger writers coming up, because I'll tell you why. When I was in the libraries, Maeve Binchy was coming over to Coolock Library to talk to a small writers group. And I was so impressed that Maeve would come to a small group.
What a treat.
So, yeah. And I was just told that City Girl was going to be published. So I took an afternoon's annual leave to go to her talk. And I was totally in awe of her and very shy. And so afterwards I went up and I said, Maeve, I'm getting published. And she said, well, now that's wonderful. Now, have you an agent? Choosing an agent is like choosing a husband. Difficult and individual. Now, we must get you an agent. And this was Maeve, you know, always go ahead and always sharing. And she gave me the name of three agents, including her own. And I remember thinking, when I left Coolock Library that day, when I get published, if I can help anyone the way Maeve helped me, I will, because it's paying it on.
Lovely.
And I think that's real important.
Well, it really is. It really is. But you've kept it going, and I know that because I hear it around and about.
Oh, that's lovely. Oh,
listen,
I'm
Patricia,
touched.
We could go until 12 o'clock and beyond.
Of course we could.
But I'm going to have to leave it there. But can I just say to people, we were saying earlier about nature being a balm, you know, a balm that we don't think about. I think that's what this book is, because it's a real escape at the end
of
your
day. That's what I want, people
day.
To escape their worlds and go into another world. And I've had an hour or two of just peace and comfort.
Yeah,
and
that's
escape.
It. And nobody wants anything from you. Yeah. Just Patricia Scanlon wants your ears and your eyes for it.
Oh, and for all
while.
You men out there, a great present for Mother's Day.
Absolutely.
Sisters,
you said it.
Mothers, partners.
It's called City Girls Forever, 35 years on from the original. It's out today by the wonderful Patricia Scanlon. Thank you so much. Great to have you here.
It's great to be here.
We'll take a break.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.